Welcome, everybody, to the Bartender's Jukebox. On this episode, I have Mr. Snake Williams Jr. How the hell are you doing today, man?
It's your pal, Snake Williams Jr.
Oh, your pal. So, what have you been up to these days, man? What promotions are you working for?
Well, I just got back to IPW last month. I had to take a couple months off for some health issues, but I got back last month and defended my IPW heavyweight title successfully, I might add.
Nice.
That was last Saturday, actually.
Hell yeah, man. Anybody that's watching across the country or even listening when I post this up on Spotify and all the outlets, where is IPW from?
Oh, they're in Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana?
They have a show once a month at the Delaware County Fairgrounds. It's a hell of a show. It draws a lot of people. They have a lot of great people up there. There's a lot of OVW people that go up there and wrestle up there. So, yeah, it's in Muncie, Indiana.
All right, so you're holding
IPW,
the...
I'm sorry, IPW stands for Indiana Powerhouse Wrestling.
Right on. And you're now holding the heavyweight championship to that?
I've been holding the heavyweight championship last couple months.
All right. So what was the match to take the title?
Who was the match or what was the match?
Yeah. Well, what were the stipulations of the match? Was it straightforward? Was it like a hardcore match? And who was it against?
No, it was a straightforward match. And it was against a gentleman by the name of Ace Mob. He was their IPW champion, heavyweight champion at the time. I was just coming off of a tag team championship run that I'd had with my former partner, Jebediah Blackhawk. And I decided that it was time for me to go after something a little bit bigger because I know there's nobody there bigger than me.
Right on, man. You said you've been wrestling since 98.
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, looking back,
let me. Right. 98 is when I started.
Okay.
I had my first match either at the end of 98 or beginning of 99, but it was around that time is when I first started going to school.
Okay. Throughout your career, has there been any rivalries that you've had that have stood out the most? You've enjoyed working that storyline?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what are some of your favorites, if you don't mind me asking?
My two favorite rivals in the business that I've had, and I've worked with them since I started in the business, is Vito Andretti. He was a former OVW Southern Tag Team Champion with Guido Andretti.
Okay.
Back in the day. And my ex-partner, Jebediah Blackhawk. Who I put out of the business, by the way.
Throughout these rivalries, has there been any notable matches that stand out to you that you go, man, that was just a hell of a night in the ring?
Yeah. Me and Vito, we had a fight for a company in Indiana. I think they're in Madison, Indiana or something like that. I can't remember. I haven't been there in years. It's called Supreme Wrestling. It's ran by a gentleman by the name of Eric Draven.
Okay.
And yeah, we had a Thanksgiving leftover street fight. It was the Saturday after Thanksgiving and we let the fans bring leftovers. And we put tables up around the ring, and we put all the leftovers all over the tables, and then we incorporated the leftovers in our match.
No shit.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good way to get the fans involved with it.
It was like Gallagher meets wrestling. Yeah.
Fuck right.
You know what Gallagher is. I might be dating myself with that one.
So. That's all right. Gallagher was one of my favorites to watch back in the day. Back when VH1 actually still played music and stuff like that, like MTV did. And Gallagher was one of the greatest. Everybody in the front row, like in their rain suits.
And when people ask me what my craziest match is, that's probably mm-hmm. the craziest match I've ever had. I mean, we were doing some stupid shit, and then trying to climb the ropes with mashed potatoes all over the ropes and almost slid and fell several times. I mean, it was crazy. It got noodles shoved down the back of my pants. I got my pants opened and wet, cold noodles shoved down my pants. And I mean, it was a crazy match. And then
Talk about a Thanksgiving surprise.
Do what?
Talk about a Thanksgiving surprise.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think they had to take a few hours after the show to clean that arena down. Cause I think they brought like a power washer in and just sprayed the place down. And we smelled like puke after the match. When you have a food fight and you mix all these different foods and it gets all over your body. And I don't know if maybe your sweat has something to do with it too, but it's straight up smelled like puke.
Oh man, that's got to be brutal, especially working through it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we didn't notice the smell till we got backstage, but
okay. Once the adrenaline wore off from it all,
that or once we got back there and could actually smell, you know.
Yeah. All right. So, what inspired you to get in the wrestling business? Was it a particular wrestler? Was you just seen it on TV and said, "Man, that's for me."
Man, you know, it's kind of weird. It's actually a pretty long story, because when I was a kid, I was just into wrestling. You know, a lot of kids are into wrestling. A lot of people are into wrestling. And I was adopted. My mom died when I was very young, and nobody knew who my dad was, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was adopted, but I was kept in my family. I wasn't adopted out of the family. I was adopted by my great aunt and uncle, on my mom's side. And, I used to watch wrestling on Saturdays with my dad, my adopted dad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was just something we would always do. We'd always watch it, and I'd go out and I was really good at it. Like, I picked it up. Like, I know I wasn't trained or anything like that, but I could just, like, I could pick up how to do things. I mean, we would have matches when I was a kid in the backyard on mattresses with poles hammered in the ground and ropes tied around them and stuff like that.
Nice.
We used to do all that stuff when I was a kid, but then I walked into Danny Davis's OVW arena and rented his ring for $100, me and a bunch of my buddies from high school. And this was years later. And we went in there and we was just playing around wrestling. You know, we was doing what we seen on TV. Well, after about two or three times of going and doing that, Danny stopped me, only me, on the way out. He told everybody else they could leave, but he wanted to talk to me. And he said he'd been watching me, and he said I looked natural in the ring, like that I could actually do this for a living. And so he was like, "Are you interested?" And I'm like, "Well, hell yeah, I'm interested. I just never knew how to go about doing it." And he was like, "Well, you know, here, this is the fee for our beginners, and you come back, we'll have a meeting," because at the time I was engaged. And I went back, had a meeting with him, paid him the money for the beginner's class, and started the beginner's class, and was only in that for a couple months before I got bumped up to the advanced class and I was already on TV. And this was fairly early on. I think OVW may have had maybe 8 to 18 shows on TV before I started getting on TV.
Okay.
So... And then the reason why it's such a long story and why I tell it this way is because about 8 years ago, well, it was the year right before COVID hit, that New Year's, my wife had bought me, like, 3 or 4 years prior to that, a DNA kit to try to figure out who my real dad was, because I just wanted to know for medical history, and because I didn't figure my dad was still alive anyways. I mean, I just didn't figure he was. After about 3 years of, I went on Facebook and I found this thing called a search angel, and they're like DNA detectives, and they'll go back into your history and all that stuff, and they'll try to find people who you're related to through your DNA chart and through your family tree and all that.
And kind of like the 23andMe.
Huh?
Kind of like today's 23andMe kind of thing with the DNA testing.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did Ancestry.
Okay.
And some lady finally found my dad on New Year's. I think it was the New Year's that COVID hit, but it was before COVID hit. It was that year. And I ended up calling him and talking to him, and we met, and he wanted to do another DNA test. So we did another DNA test. And then I found out that I have an uncle, and my dad is from Canada, by the way.
Oh, wow.
He moved down here when he was like 32 years old and became an American citizen. And he was a truck driver, and that's how he met my mom. And I find out that my uncle, my dad, they're all from Canada, but my uncle was a professional wrestler who was trained who was trained by Stu Hart in the dungeon. He was there before Neidhart or any of them, because he was the one that would go to the airport and pick them up when they were new and bring them to Stu's house, because that my dad and his brother and their family lived right below the farm that the Harts lived in. So they were neighbors. And my dad was actually best friends with Owen Hart. So I come to find out I'm technically a second generation wrestler. And so I figure that some of that passion and drive, and it had to come from my family line. You know, I mean, my uncle was Snake Williams. That's why I go by Snake Williams Jr. In Canada. And then he was Bill Jordan. He wrestled Yokozuna's very first WWF match. He was the enhancement talent for that. He did enhancement talent against the Natural Disasters when they were the tag team champions. And you can find he was in there with Bret Hart, who he was really good friends with. And you can find these matches on the Peacock or WWE Network or whatever they have now, you know, because I've actually looked them up and watched them, or even YouTube. I found them on YouTube too. So that's my passion, man.
So to ask you what inspired you or what got you into it, I think it was destiny.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I feel it was destiny for you. All right, so OVW, Netflix did their documentary series there. What was it like having all the extra cameras around besides springtime?
Weird.
I could imagine.
Weird. I mean, you might turn around and there might be a camera right in your face and you don't know it's there, and you're told don't look at the cameras. You know, they want it to be natural. You know, it's a documentary. They don't want you to be acting. They want you to be naturally who you are. So they don't want you, you know, staring at the cameras and all that. So it's weird. It really is. I mean, it's not like being out, you know, when I'm out in the ring on OVW television, I'm selling to the cameras, you know, I'm talking to the cameras, but you can't do that with them but then at the same time, you make friends with the cameramen and all that stuff, and you create bonds with them and stuff like that. I mean, when they left, you know, it was like family was leaving, you know, because they was with us through the whole summer. So yeah, I mean, it was definitely an experience that I'm so glad that I got to be involved with.
It sounds like an interesting time. I don't know, personally, I don't know how I would be able to react with a camera being around me 24, in a sense, 24/7 feeling. But yeah, that's pretty epic that you got to see, to do the flip side of that, you know, show the behind the scenes of what you guys were doing.
Yeah. And it was cool to see how they filmed it and everything too. And the way they did it, because I mean, they had so much footage. What you all seen what we all seen in the Netflix series is doesn't even touch the amount of footage that they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could do a second season just based off the footage that they filmed, because they was with everybody for like ever. I mean, there's some people they even went to their houses with and stuff, you know. You've seen really? Some of the shows, so I mean, yeah, it was definitely an experience, man. It was different.
All right. Were you since now this might I don't know how to word this, so bear with me. Did you have to sign like a waiver about talking about what was going on at all? On the show while it was being filmed, and then be able to speak afterwards? Like, was it hush hush?
It was definitely hush hush. You did have to sign paperwork with them, but it was, I think the paperwork was more about you giving them permission to use you on camera and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't remember anything, signing anything that said, hey, you can't talk about this, but we were told, you know, you are not to talk about this. If you talk about this, it can get it completely canceled.
Okay.
You know, and all that. All it would take is for Netflix to hear that something got out one time and they could cancel the whole thing. And we didn't want that because we wanted to show the world what OVW was about. You know, that's where I started. You know, I'm proud of being a part of OVW.
Yes, sir. We're going to switch topics now. Throughout your career, what is one of the craziest things a fan has either said or acted on during one of your matches?
Because
I know you're getting the crowd riled up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they say a lot of stupid things to me. You want to hear the funniest?
Just that one.
You want to hear the funniest? And it seems like you just want to hear a funny interaction with a fan. You want to hear the funniest interaction with a fan I've ever
had? Yeah.
Okay, so this was during that Thanksgiving street fight.
Okay.
That leftover street fight, right? So we had set up a table, and we had brought in ourselves, me and Vito, we had brought in a can of Jell-O molded cranberry sauce. And we kept it molded because there was a certain fan in the audience that was very annoying. He was so annoying. And he was always, you know, he was always an asshole to the heels, but he would annoy the babies too. You know, it was just, it was just annoying. So we set up this spot.
Don't forget to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations for all your artistic needs. Looking for a special occasion for a friend, family, or loved one. Be sure to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations on all social media and her website on BigCartel.com. That is Nelly's Artistic Creations. And with the holiday season coming up, a nice piece of art will always cheer the soul.
Because we knew it wouldn't hurt him. So we set up this spot where I got Vito over there in front of him, and I'm beating him up. And then I go and I grab that molded cranberry sauce, and I rear back and I throw it as hard as I can, and Vito ducks, and that dude's standing right behind him, and it hits him right in the chest and blows up in his face. And I mean, the security had to escort him out of the building. He was trying to come after me.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that was probably the funniest thing. And then after that, I started calling him Cranberry during promos, and he hated that. So I made his nickname Cranberry. And now to this day, if anybody up there says, "Where's Cranberry?" they know exactly who they're talking about. So.
That is fucking awesome, man.
But yeah, that's the funniest thing I've ever had happen with a fan. So,
how is it working with Al Snow?
Oh, I love Al Snow, man. He's so humble and so informative, and I mean, he'll tell you like it is. I mean, he ain't gonna sugarcoat nothing. He'll tell you if it sucks, or if he thinks it's stupid or whatever, but he'll also tell you why he thinks it sucks or why he thinks it's stupid and what you should have done this way instead of that way. And I mean, he's just, it's a wealth of knowledge having him there. And that is why I believe that OVW has gotten to a height that they've gotten to, because they've got somebody like Al Snow there to teach and lead the next generation of superstars.
What is, for you, probably the best piece of advice he has ever given you?
Oh God, the best piece of advice he's ever given me.
That's work, either work best for you, just in general.
God, he's given me so much advice, and you're putting me on the spot to try to
I
remember
know.
what he's told me.
I know.
God, I mean, he's told me a lot of stuff. I mean, he's not in so many words told me to stop being a pussy and stop getting in my feelings and stuff about things. I mean, I remember one time I went in his office and we were talking about being a heel, a bad guy, and he gave me some advice that I never ever, and I've been a heel almost my whole career, and I've always felt like I was a good heel, but not after talking to Al Snow. God, the stuff that he told me that I didn't even realize or ever think about, it's just like it's mind-blowing and amazing. And I'm not going to give that secret out here, but it's just the stuff that he tells you is just, it makes you think in a different way than what you normally would think in wrestling. It makes you look at it in a different light. And it makes you more successful. It really does, because he puts it in a perspective that, he just makes you understand, makes it click in your head of what it's all about.
Right on, man. Right on. All right. So, is there any road stories? Because I know you've been in different promotions, so I know you travel around. Any stories from the road that you'd like to share that are funny?
Nope.
All right. Respect to that, sir. Respect to that, sir.
No road
Oh,
stories.
I could
Maybe after
definitely.
I retire, then I'll tell road stories, but not right now,
All
nope.
right. All right, so there was a question. Nelly has asked, is there a link to the Netflix series that she can share?
A link to the Netflix series. I
Yeah.
don't know if there's a link, but the name of the series is Wrestlers. So if
Okay.
you go on Netflix and you search, I mean, it was actually at the top of the list for a while there. So I mean, if you go on Netflix and you search Wrestlers, Wrestlers is
It'll
in
be there.
plural, it'll be there. So,
All right.
but no, I don't have a link for it, no.
Okay. I think she might have mentioned it for the any of the younger youth that like to just click one button and go.
Yeah, well, I'm old, so
Hey, me too, man. Me too. It sucks getting older, right?
well, yeah, it does suck getting older, but man, there's ways to make yourself still feel younger.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Every day is a blessing. That's what you got to
That's
take it.
right. That's right.
Every day. Oh man. So, since wrestling has been your destiny, have you thought about anything else besides wrestling in your life to get into? Because I mean, it seems like it was almost dead set for you.
I mean, I do other things in my life. Wrestling don't pay my bills.
Oh
It
yeah.
pays decent, but I have a career outside of wrestling.
Okay.
It's not what I wanted to do, but yeah, I do. But I mean, yeah, I've done a lot of things in my life, man. Everything I've ever wanted to try, I've went out there and done. I've worked for the railroad. I've worked
Fuck
as a
right.
police. I've worked as a police officer. I've worked in corrections. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff in my life, man. I'm of the mind of, if you want to do it, go try it and do it. If you don't like it, move on to something else. If you do like it, stick around for a while till you get bored with it, and then move on to something else. But now I have a job that pays really good money, so it's hard to walk away from the job I have now, so.
I can respect that. I can respect that. But man, that's an absolute great mentality to have towards life, you know. Much respect. Like at one point in my life, I know I thought about like what happens if it would be like to work for the railroad, you know, get to travel and see places you know on a daily. I would absolutely love that.
Yeah,
But
man, I had to go to
I didn't take
that.
the step.
That's how I first got to go to Connecticut and Buffalo and New York City and Albany, New York. And I mean, I worked for a railroad company that was owned by a company up in Canada called Savage Services. So, and what we did was we ran the different terminals for CSX that they didn't want to manpower themselves. They would hire us as an in, but we owned our own rails up in Canada. So, and I was a safety manager there, and I traveled with them and did safety shit all around the country and stuff. So,
That's awesome though. You got to see a whole lot of the countryside that most people don't get to see.
I've seen more country with the railroad than I have with wrestling. Yeah, that's for sure.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But I might have some, you know, I can't talk about them, but I might have some actual things coming up here soon that might even take me out of the United States. Don't know yet. It's not confirmed yet. That's why I can't really talk about it. But there's a couple of different things that might be coming up here soon, hopefully. Hopefully everything goes through and works out for me, because my career is getting towards the end. I'm getting older. I'm definitely feeling it more than I used to. I mean, I can still go out there and bang with the best of them, and I can still knock anybody out that I want to knock out. But at the same time, it's getting to a point in my life where I'm thinking about moving on to other things. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to leave wrestling. It just means I might not be wrestling, but I might still have my hand in the pot stirring things.
You're going to be involved in somewhere.
That's right. But I
So
will say that after I had my medical issues the past, few months back or whatever, and got those dealt with, I actually feel better than I felt in a long time. And I was looking at maybe calling it quits at the end of the year, but now I'm thinking that I've got a little bit more time in me. So I don't think it's time to hang it up yet. At least not
Right.
that step in my journey. Because I'm not going to leave the wrestling business. I just may not be out there getting beat up or beat on or beating people up. You know, there's other things I can do.
Respectable, sir. Respectable. Speaking of that, what was in your career, what do you think one of the worst bumps you ever took was? If you don't mind me asking that.
Man, you know, I really never got hurt too much. Most of the stuff that I got hurt with was when I first started, and it was silly stuff. I guess the worst bump I ever took had to be whatever bump it was that started. Oh man, you're asking me a hard question. The hardest bump I ever took, I guess, was off top of a steel cage at WCCW in Kentucky. There used to be a company down in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. It was ran by a man they called him Santa Claus because he looked like Santa Claus. He's an old man, and he worked at Toyota so that he could run. I mean, he was at least 70 something years old. He was still a maintenance man at Toyota, but he only worked there to fund his wrestling company because he loved
Really?
wrestling so much. And I don't know what happened to the town. It was dead before I got there. Started kind of bringing it back a little bit. But damn, I done lost track of what I was talking about. What was the question you asked me? Damn, I did forget my question. God damn.
If we were on the bump
I
and you
promise
said the
this is
steer,
water. I promise this is water.
I had asked you about probably one of the worst bumps you ever took, and you said about the steel
Oh,
cage,
yes, I
and then it
have
was
a
in a
steel
promotion,
cage
and
match there. It was my very first steel cage match. And my dumb ass decided to take a flare bump off the top of the cage. So I'd have to say that was probably my hardest bump I've ever taken.
Okay. Oof. That had to knock the wind out of you.
Actually, I've had the wind knocked out of me harder taking bumps on the concrete than I ever have than I did taking that off the top of the ring. But
really,
it was pretty high up. It was scary. So, but yeah, that's why I was saying. Yeah, it was WCCW, which was Wildcat Championship Wrestling, and I was their champion there too. Also, while I was there.
So here's a quick question, if you don't mind me asking. That moment before you took that leap, what were you thinking?
It's time to take that leap.
just get it over with. Fuck it.
Man, when I'm in the ring, it's a one-track mind.
Yeah.
I'm just in there to do my business and get out.
Right on, right on. Oh, shit. What are some of the favorite, some of your maybe favorite or more liked promotions that you've worked for?
OVW is my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
OVW is like a family.
Mm-hmm.
And IPW is a really, really great company, man, that I work for. I have a lot of respect up there. You know, they respect me quite a bit up there. I mean, they have to respect me to put the title on me. And I have a lot of respect for them because they have something going that's really good up there. So actually those are my two favorite that I've ever worked for. But I can't, you know, I can't overlook like BBW, Bad to the Bone Wrestling, that used to be in Kentucky years ago. That was ran by Joe Bailey. I was their heavyweight champion back in the day, and I wrestled for them. And I mean, they're the ones that gave me my first shot on the independents after OVW training and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of promotions that I've worked for throughout the years that were good promotions, but my two favorites are OVW and IPW.
All right. Looking back on your career, is there anything that you might have thought you'd do different or keep it all the same?
Oh, hell yeah. There's a lot of things I would do different in my career. For one, I walked away from wrestling for a few years when I was actually at one of my hottest points, all just over a relationship, and I would never, ever, ever do that again. That was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my career, because then when I came back, it was starting all over again.
Okay.
I mean, I literally started all over again, literally with a new character, everything. It was all different.
Well, so was the new character you came in with.
It's my Facebook name, actually, because they won't let me make Snake my name for some reason. I think it's very discriminatory that somebody can't have the name Snake.
Yeah.
Nate Steele was the name that I came back in as.
Okay.
I went by the Irish Born Killer, Nate Steele. And I was sorry about that. I was trying to fix it.
No, man.
Actually, Vito Andretti's the one that brought me back into wrestling. He talked me into coming in. It was about 2011, 2012, somewhere around in there. I'd reconnected with him on Facebook, and he brought me up to Supreme Wrestling, where Eric Draven ran it. And I came in as a bodyguard at first for a group, for a tag team and their manager. And then I ended up, I think my second night there, they had me wrestling. So, and I hadn't wrestled in years, but I came back in. My first match was against Bobo Brazil Jr. I had a pretty damn good match with him, and then just took off from there.
Right on, man. Right on. So speaking of early careers, right now, in your opinion, are there any up-and-comers? Everybody should always be watching every scene. But are there any standouts right now that, in your opinion, that you see as rising stars? I know all can be, everyone's a rising star in one way or another, but
I'm gonna tell you right now, Luke Curtis is one person that everybody needs to have their eyes on. Certified Luke Curtis at OVW and NWA, because that boy is going places. He knows what he's doing, and he's very good at it. And he's going to end up rising to the top. I'm telling you right now, that boy's got it. And then there's several females there. I mean, Layla Gray, she's already working for AEW. I mean, she's great. Tiffany Nieves, Ari Alexander, a lot of them are great. Looking on the guy's side, Crixus, if he could stay healthy, he's small, smaller than the Ultimate Warrior, but he's like the Ultimate Warrior of OVW, man. He's, and the fans love him. And I mean, you got Manny Domingo, who's tearing it up at OVW as the Rush Division champion, or he goes by something else now. I don't remember what his name is now, but yeah, I'm telling you right now, you wanna look for the top stars in the business right now. OVW is what you need to be watching, man. I'm telling you. I got a guy. We haven't talked about Southern Discomfort yet.
No, not yet.
Well, maybe I don't want to talk about this yet, but
that's entirely up to you.
Well, I got a guy that's a member of Southern Discomfort, and his name is Donovan Cecil, but he goes by Big DC Mastiff. At least that's what he goes by with Southern Discomfort. He goes by Donovan Cecil still at OVW. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, that guy's a monster. He is, I think he's won the Kentucky Strongman the last 2 years in a row and is ranked 30 in the nation of Strongman. And he's so good in the ring. He gets it. He's very athletic. He can do high-flying moves like a luchador, even though he's 6'4" and probably 400 pounds, but he's solid. I mean, he's another one that's one to watch, man. I'm telling you, he's another one that's going to break loose. And then you got Jack Vaughn. Jack Vaughn's another one that's great, man. I mean, hell, he's already an internet sensation.
Yeah. TikTok all day with him. That's where I picked up on him.
And Jack's great. He is so good in the ring. Oh, he is great. I almost got to wrestle Jack once at OVW, and for some reason they scratched the match and put me in something else with, I think with Joe Mack is what I ended up having to wrestle was Joe Mack, but I was supposed to wrestle Jack Vaughn at first, and I was so disappointed that I didn't get to wrestle Jack Vaughn. I wanted to wrestle Jack so bad.
Would you give him a thigh slap?
Oh, yeah, I would have given the thigh slap after he pinned me or I pinned him or whatever.
It definitely would have been in the match, though.
Yeah.
His TikTok is just absolutely delightful. If you don't know, Jack Vaughn, check it out.
Yeah, great Jack shit. Vaughn is hilarious. He's funny. I know he offends a lot of people in the business, but, I mean, people need to lighten up. It's 2024. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And so, the thing about it is he's so right in his videos. Like, everything he says is true. It's like, what the fuck?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. There's so many. Like, I can't even choose just one of his. It's just epic. So, anybody that's looking at getting into the business right now, or just starting out, they're 3 months into it. Is there any advice you can give to them?
Shut up and listen. That's the best advice I ever got in the business. And I got that from Rip Rogers when he was training me.
Hey guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out. Another podcast to check out is the Three Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
Well, actually, it's shut the fuck up and listen, but that was the way he worded it, but I was just doing it the nice way. Yeah, man, it's a lot of these new kids, and I see this a lot, and I don't mean kids in a disrespectful way, but I'm old and they're young, you know. But a lot of these new guys coming in, new girls coming in, man, they think they already know it all. Man, I'm 47 years old. I've been in the business since 1998, and I still learn shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, just keep an open mind. Keep an open mind about things. Listen to, if you're, especially like if you're at OVW and you have an agent and they're trying to explain to you how they want you to do a match or whatever, they're trying to help you out. Listen to them and do what they ask you to do, because what they're asking you is what they're getting from the people above them. And it's just like, leave your ego at the door and listen. If you're doing something that works in the ring, why would you change it?
Yeah.
You know, listen to the people that try to give you this advice and tell you these things, because that's what a lot of these, you know, a lot of younger people just don't want to listen anymore. It's just like they think they know it all. And I mean, maybe they do. I mean, some of them have gotten farther than I have. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong in what I'm saying, but that's the way I feel about it, though.
I think that kind of reverts back to technology, though, like we were talking about. Back in the day, nobody had a cell phone in their hand. People had to work more to get their name out there to get farther, that's where true. Today everything is such quick access.
Right, that is true. You know, back when I was wrestling back in the day for BBW, OVW, you know, before the 2000s or whatever, yeah, the only publicity we had was radio and signs that we had to post in towns. And that was about it. And then maybe hotlines. I think, yeah, because BBW had a hotline that you could call each week and hear what the matches was, and you could leave messages and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to get your name out there now than it was back then.
Yeah, like nowadays, radio is almost obsolete. Everything is on a streaming service of sorts.
Yes,
you're definitely crazy. Wrong. So I mean I think that is the biggest change in professional wrestling in the last 15 years, I would say.
Probably, yeah. Maybe even longer than that.
Yeah. It's just everything is just such easy access.
But yeah, it's definitely out there. You know, that's another thing. You know, that's one of the bad things about that. A lot of people don't realize that, like, people post their matches and stuff on YouTube or whatever. And I do too. I have. I've done that in the past myself and all that stuff. And I've made the mistake too. And then I sit there and I think about it. And I'm like, why would I put something? If I'm trying to get paid to wrestle, and my pay is based on how many people I can put in the seats, then why would I put my match for free on YouTube?
Yeah.
When people can be like, well, if I want to see Snake Williams Jr., all I got to do is wait till he puts it on YouTube. So it's just like, although there is that live experience too, though. That you can't get watching on TV. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's six and one, half a dozen of another.
I can't agree with that anymore. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Well, it looks like we are getting close to the hour mark, my friend. Do you have any upcoming events, any place people can find your stuff, and you know, like YouTube channels, anything like that?
I have a YouTube channel. It's Snake Williams Jr. is my YouTube channel. It's just my name. So all you got to do is put my name in there. And and all my matches are on there. So you can see all my matches for free. Not all of them, but I have several on there.
What is one match, though? That you're gonna tell them this is the one to watch on my page, because it's gonna drive up your views on that single video. What is that? What is that match?
Man, I don't know, because a lot of our OVW matches that me and Jeb had, as a tag team were very, very good matches, and I would watch any of them, especially
put up this. All right, so they should particularly check out those matches, the whole series, in order to boost your ratings on those videos, correct?
Yes.
To help generate more money?
Yes.
That's going to be a positive way of looking at it.
They should watch all my matches on there.
Exactly.
But yeah, the OVW ones. But then there's some early stuff too on there from when I me and Jeb got together and started doing the Southern Discomfort thing. You know,
So what is Southern Discomfort? What is this? Let's talk about this.
Southern Discomfort was an idea that a buddy of mine, Vito.
By the way, scratch. We're getting close to an hour thing. I want to hear about Southern Discomfort. Let's get into this.
Okay. So Vito Andretti, who I've talked about throughout the podcast, because me and him's been pretty close friends for a long time. And, you know, I met him in training at OVW, and we've always been friends. But anyways, he's got a good mind for wrestling. Like, he comes up with a lot of cool ideas and funny ideas and stuff like that. And he had come up with an idea of Southern Discomfort. Back in the day, he had done a tag team in a promotion that he was booking for called Southern Discomfort. And it was like Mason Dixon and something else. But when I was at Supreme, they wanted to put me with a guy named Roger Blade. And he did. He was like a Jake the Snake. He tried to do like a Jake the Snake Roberts thing where he brought a snake out to the ring and all that stuff. And I had gotten the idea if I wanted to do this Southern Discomfort thing. And Vito had pitched it to me. Hey, you should do this, because I was doing a cowboy biker gimmick or whatever. So I did the Southern Discomfort with him, but I wasn't happy with it because I wasn't really happy. He wasn't aggressive enough for me. Like, I'm an aggressive wrestler, you know, I'm when I go in there, I'm balls to the wall, you know, and he wasn't like that. So then me and Jeb, we had been talking for quite a while. We had met, we met back in OVW days, but we weren't really friends back then. But then we met when I came back to wrestling in 2011 or 12. We had hooked up again at a couple independent shows, and we became friends. So we started hanging out and stuff. So we started playing golf together, and I suck and he's good. And we're out on the golf course and we're playing, and he had brought up something about maybe going back to wrestling, and I pitched him the Southern Discomfort idea. And he liked it, so we did it. Well, about halfway through it, you know, we're the IPW heavyweight champions. We make a little run at OVW, but we really never did get very far with OVW. It could have been our age, I don't know. But we never really got too far with OVW. But then he decided he wanted to walk away from Southern Discomfort and do his hillbilly thing. So at that point in time, I decided to end his wrestling career. Through a series of matches at IPW, culminating in a hair match. Or no, it wasn't a hair match that it culminated into. Yes, it culminated into a hair match with me. He lost his hair. He lost the match, lost his hair. Then he come back the next month and he wanted to wrestle my big boy, Mastiff, Donovan. And Donovan ended his career. Donovan put him through the floor. And, you know, he messed with the wrong dog. That's all I got to say. But when Jeb left, that gave me an opportunity to go back to my biker roots, because we was kind of doing the cowboy thing. And I'm a cowboy at heart, and I'm a biker. And I decided to make Southern Discomfort a biker club. And I've added, since then, I've added Manny Domingo. I've added Big Whiskey Jared Kripke. I've added Donovan Cecil, Big DC Mastiff, and I've also got Benny the Beast. He's a former LAX member, one of the original LAX members. So, yeah, we're pretty strong. Right now, we're just mainly at IPW at the moment, but we will go anywhere that anybody wants us to.
Here's an on-the-spot moment. Could you cut a promo for him?
Could I cut a promo for what?
Southern discomfort right now.
Could I cut a promo for Southern Discomfort?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? It's your old pal Snake Williams Jr. here, and I'm gonna tell the people right now that the hottest group in wrestling today is Southern Discomfort. And if you want to watch Southern Discomfort, you got to come up to Muncie, Indiana, to the Delaware County Fairgrounds, and there you can watch us do what we do best, and that is run the place. So I got one piece of advice for you, and that's take a sip, let it burn, and feel the Southern discomfort. Trust me.
Yes. Right on, man. Right on. Hell yeah. I dig it. I dig it.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, I take my craft serious.
Hell yeah. Absolutely love it. So,
but that's the story of Southern Discomfort, and we're still going strong. And even when I decide to walk away and then I'm done wrestling, Southern Discomfort's still going to be around, and I might still be pulling the strings there a little bit.
That's what's up, man. That is what's up. So, say, I don't know, this might be one you don't want to talk about, but I'll ask it. If you were to retire today, what kind of match would you want?
If I was to retire today, what kind of match would I want?
Yeah. And that's when you can say pass.
You know what? If I had a match, if I had my last match, and even though he doesn't need it, I would want it to be against Luke Curtis, and I would want it to be whatever I had to do to get him to that next level. It wouldn't matter what kind of match it was, just as long as it could be something that I could do to help him get to that next level. Because I can't speak enough good about this boy. I mean, he's awesome. He's a great guy, and he's very good in the ring, and he's very smart. And I can't give him enough compliments for real.
Much respect. Much respect. So before wrestling, were there any sports you were doing besides, you know, learning the craft in one way or another? I mean, were you into football or basketball?
I mean, I was a fullback in high school.
Okay.
And when I was a police officer, I did some training for MMA fighting. I was actually going to fight MMA, but I ended up going to the police academy instead, right before my first fight. But yeah, I did some training for MMA, and yeah, I was a fullback for my high school in football, and I played baseball. I was a very good baseball player. Baseball was actually my best sport.
Really?
But I like the physicality of football, but I love baseball now. Like, I'm actually going up to Wrigley Field for opening day on April 1st to see the Cubs play, because I'm a big Cubs fan. So
nice. I'm an Orioles fan, sadly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Oh man, I feel like an Eagles fan saying it'll be next year.
Right. Hey, at least you're not a Cowboys fan.
I don't even get in that battle between the Eagles fans and the Cowboys fans. I'm about 20 minutes away from the Hamburg Fieldhouse, so I'm in Eagles country.
Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan.
<so. laughs> Oh, God bless you.
But I'm not one of those crazy Cowboy fans that I just like the Dallas Cowboys, man. I just been watching them since I was a kid, and I just like them. And they, you know, just like the Cubs, they don't win. So
here's a question for you. And this might be a personal one. You said you were a police officer. Was there a moment that you were on the job that made you change your mind from it? Or, you know, a standout moment that really stuck with you? Could be good or bad. Up to you what you choose to talk about.
Man, to be honest with you, my experience in law enforcement wasn't, it didn't sit well with me. And I really, and like, I'm not gonna get into nothing, but
No, you don't have to at all.
it just didn't like, that's why I wanted to do it to help people. I wasn't in it to be an asshole. And I got into it a little late in life. I was in my 30s when I got into it. So I wasn't a young kid straight out of high school, going into the police academy and stuff. So I was a little more mature, I feel like. And the stuff that I seen and the things that I seen happen and not necessarily the police officers doing things. It was other people doing things and certainly, it was just wasn't very, it was
Politics.
a toxic environment. Let's just put it that way.
Politics.
Yes, it's a very toxic environment. And I learned a long time ago that you can't have toxic environment in your life. You got to get rid of that shit because if you don't keep a positive mindset, all you're going to do is sit around and just worry about things and be depressed. And then that's when people commit suicide and everything else. So
Yes,
you got to
sir.
keep that toxicity out of your life, man, and just keep it about positive things. Like winning my match last month at IPW against Ace King, Ace Mob's son.
Yeah.
Like
How how'd the match go? How'd the match go down? So this way that you can tell the people how it went down, or they can go to your YouTube channel.
He thought, well, that one's not on my YouTube channel, but it is on
Oh.
YouTube if you want to look for it. It is on my Facebook page, though, which is Nate Steele, although you can find it under Snake Williams Jr. because I have that as my nickname on there or whatever, because it tells me that Snake is not a real first name, even though, I'm going to have a kid name him Snake so that I can sue Facebook. But,
Yes.
yeah, I done forgot what I was talking about again, so
Oh shit.
I'm sorry,
Well,
man. I work a hard I work a hard job. I'm not afraid to say
brother,
it. I work
brother, don't worry about
in
it.
assembly work. I work building cars all day long. I get up, at 3 o'clock in the morning, so at this time I have a hard time keeping a train of thought.
You're winding down. So I guess we hit the hour mark. I believe you get some rest, my friend. I greatly appreciate you doing this podcast with me, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope I can do another one in the future with you if you'd like.
Oh, for sure, man. I had a blast, man. It was fun. I just hope I wasn't too long-winded for you.
Hell no, man. I absolutely loved it. It was perfect.
All
So I will say my quick little promo on the way out, and then I will leave you close out the show with your own promo. This is the Bartender's Jukebox. Like I always say, stay thirsty for life, my friends. Cheers.
This is your old pal Snake Williams Jr. coming to you from the bartender's jukebox, telling you to take a sip, let it burn, and feel the southern discomfort.
You the man, good sir. You are the man.
Thank you.
If you never need to reach out and talk to somebody, you can text 988. It's the Suicide National Prevention text message hotline. We all need to talk in one way or another, and I know myself, especially being a man, we all get locked in our heads. We need to break that silence and the stigma that men are not allowed to talk. Remember, it's 988 if you're ever feeling suicidal or just need somebody to listen. Again, text 988.
Victim time. Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale. When I say victim, I want to see you jump. When I say victim, I want to see you jump. When I say victim, I want to see you jump. Fort Lauderdale. Deserve that, I should go back. Can't you see it?